We return this week again to Matthew chapter 6, and we read by way of text verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, and we read by way of text verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Dear congregation, having gone through the petitions, we now come to the conclusion of this direction our Lord gave for prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Now, right at the outset, having noted the petitions, we note there is a connection to the conclusion. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have this word, for. Because. Why? Think of the petitions. We come to the conclusion, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory. There's a connection there. So when you pray, exercise faith and enforce or press home your petitions with arguments for the acceptance and answers to your requests, taking encouragement in God Himself. Having made known the petitions, then we enforce with arguments, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. We can pray for provision, for the Lord is a powerful God. And we pray that he would so provide for his glory, because glory belongs to him. There's a connection here. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Let's think of a few further examples. We could say in prayer, thou art sovereign. Maintain the kingdom then, and do as thou wilt. You note the petition in verse 10. Thy kingdom come. And then the second petition, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, we make known these petitions, and we do so with encouragement, because the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the one working out his purposes. Another example. Thou art a God of great power, and thou art able to meet the needs of thy people. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Take encouragement from God himself. And enforce or press home your petitions with arguments. That's what we see Daniel doing in Daniel 9, verse 17. Having considered the captivity, he then, in his prayer, offers up certain words. Verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. You see, he was making his petitions, and he was using those arguments for thy name's sake, O Lord. Now, here in the conclusion, not only do we consider arguments to enforce our petitions, because we've noticed that word for, but we further are directed to praise God. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're encouraged to pray, making our petitions, but also we're to praise God as well. And are we not quickly reminded of those words in Revelation 5, verse 12 and verse 13, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. So not only do we consider the connection that we're to enforce our petitions with arguments, but also we are to praise the Lord here in these words. These are words of praise. So we have those two things to consider. But then finally, notice how the prayer ends. We simply have this word, Amen. And there's much there for us. It's not just a word to say at the end. No, we're thinking of certain things as we say this word, Amen. This is my prayer. These are my petitions. These are my desires. And I believe and I am quietly assured that God, in accordance to his will fulfill my requests. That's just the beginning when we say the word Amen. Now, for the remainder of our time this morning, I'd like us to consider the two things, the praising of the Lord and then the final word we have here this morning. So first of all, praising God in prayer, and then secondly and more briefly, Amen, the final word. Amen, the final word. First of all this morning, praising God in prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we are encouraged to pray and to bring our petitions to the Lord because he is the king and he has a kingdom. He's a God of great power and he has the glory. But let's consider this morning that in these words as well, we are found praising God. We're to glorify God. Therefore, it is good to offer praise. In Psalm 50, verse 23, we read, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me." Now, just think of that last term and the glory. Do not we desire to glorify God in our prayers? To offer praise unto him. Now for a few moments, turn with me to David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. And it's very similar, and we're taught this lesson. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of our Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." You see, these truths are all brought out there. Well, we think particularly of praising God's name. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory. Thine is the kingdom, said David. Well, our Lord gave this directory of prayer to praise the Lord with such terms as we see here this morning. Now we see plainly praise is an important part of prayer. And it's good to remember that, dear brethren. Oh, to have that on view more often. Sometimes one can come in because they're burdened with the petition straight away. Oh, to begin by considering God and praising him. And to end our prayer by praising him as well. Praise is plainly such an important element of prayer. Psalm 65, verse 1, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Now the psalmist is thinking of a time of worship, a time of prayer. And how does the psalm begin? "Praise waiteth for thee." And dear brethren, is it not our chief concern that God is praised and glorified in our prayers? O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Praise waiteth for thee. Now it may be a short prayer in an unexpected situation. You're brought to a situation and you offer a little prayer. Try not to forget to offer some words of prayer, praise in that prayer. Lord, it may be difficult for me, but I praise thee because I know thou wilt help me. Try to remember to praise God even when you're brought to a situation and you just offer a short prayer. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, as we note this conclusion, let's learn from it. Let's learn this lesson of praising the Lord in prayer. And under this first point now, I'd like us to consider two further things. Firstly, God is to be praised in prayer. God is to be praised in prayer. Notice what our Lord says. For thine is the kingdom. Every word is important. We've already considered this morning the word for, and that teaches us to enforce our petitions with arguments for the acceptance of our prayers, and that answers will come. But we note now the second word, thine, and that teaches us, dear brethren, that we are to pray with the Lord in mind. We are to offer praise unto him. God himself is to be praised in our prayers. For thine is the kingdom. Our minds are to turn to the Lord, and we are to focus on him in our prayers, and we are to praise him. Dear brethren, it's good to begin with such words, isn't it? Our Father which art in heaven. What a help that is to us. It helps us to focus on the Lord. We're coming to the Lord in prayer. It helps us then to focus on him, our Father which art in heaven. Oh, to turn and focus upon him in our prayers and praise him. We are but men and women. I begin with myself. How easy it seems I can be distracted. Oh, to focus on him. For thine is the kingdom. My dear granny, a number of years ago, said to me, I so struggle in prayer. And all I seem to be able to do some days is just utter these words. Well, it's good she was able to just utter these words, for they're full of help. Thine is the kingdom. Oh, for our minds to focus on the Lord. Further, let us remember, we're not saying words to others. We're saying words to God. Yes, one mouth speaking on behalf of others, but it's not to others. That's an important lesson we need to learn again and again. Prayer, as the Catechism puts it, is unto God. And our Lord teaches it here. For thine is the kingdom. Oh, to keep focused on the Lord in prayer. To pray unto him and to praise him. Prayer is unto God. Matthew 4 verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How important it is to keep remembering we're before the Lord in prayer, and we're praying unto him. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Praise is waiting for the Lord. We're to praise him in prayer then. Focus your eye on him and give him the glory. So firstly, praise is to be offered unto God in prayer. But then secondly, a way in which we are to praise God. A way in which we are to praise God. That is what our Lord is teaching here. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now in Revelation 5, as we have already seen this morning, we note certain things which are ascribed to the Lord as praises being offered. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 3, Moses said, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. This ascribing, this giving, this putting to him. Psalm 68 verse 34, ascribe ye strength unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Now we're shown a way in which we can praise God in prayer, by ascribing certain things to him. In your own time again, read through Revelation 5 Verse 11 and 12, we see those things being ascribed to him, the blessing, the honor, and the glory. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. James Fisher questions, what way should we praise him in our prayers? By ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to him. Now you remember the Levites in Nehemiah's day and how they led the people in prayer. And as they did so, we are left an example for us of praising God in the way which our Lord sets out before us this morning. Nehemiah 9, verse 5 and 6. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshippeth thee. You note there, they ascribe to God a glorious name. That he is God alone, and that he hath made all things. Praise him by ascribing certain things to him. Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And it's good to say to the Lord, blessing and honour and glory and power. Well, let's consider here these three things which are ascribed to him. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. First of all, thine is the kingdom. Now, this is a great encouragement to pray. And we can enforce our petitions with saying, thine is the kingdom. But we also give him the praise in uttering these words. Thine is the kingdom. Dear brethren, just pause. Is it not a blessing to focus on this in a day of difficulty and then further praise him that he has a kingdom? There's much to discourage, but God has a kingdom and he is reigning as king. We think of the kingdom, for thine is the kingdom. First of all, we can consider his essential or general kingdom. He reigneth over all. And then as we think of God the Son, the special kingdom, the kingdom of grace and of glory, his mediatorial kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. Now just pause. Note the connection here in this prayer. In uttering the second petition, which is in verse 10, thy kingdom come, we take encouragement that God has a kingdom, and we praise him for those connections in the prayer. There's order. Thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom. He is king. He is reigning. Now consider he is king. If he has a kingdom, he therefore is king. He is sovereign. He is supreme. Oh, we can praise him in our prayers that he is sovereign. And in doing so, we can take great comfort. Consider the events that have taken place, young people, over these last 48 hours in the world. Oh, we can praise God that he is sovereign. And we can take comfort in it. He is supreme. Psalm 47, verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Let's praise him afresh this morning. We come before the king. He is a great king. Thine is the kingdom. Turn again to those helpful words in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. There's David. He's leading and he's blessing God. Thine is the kingdom. There are many bowing down to him in heaven at this moment, and he is having the praise. Oh, bow your knee in submission. And then further in adoration and praise. Thine is the kingdom. And what a blessing we can come as subjects of the King. And we can bow our hearts in adoration. We'll just pause. He is King. He is reigning over this world. And then consider our blessed Redeemer. He is King and Head of the Church. God the Son. Thine is the kingdom. He's on the throne. He's building his church and he is defending it. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Consider those words and rejoice in the King. Give praise unto the King, for thine is the kingdom. And are we not led to consider him on the throne as we utter those words? Do or not we find ourselves praising his name? Psalm 149 verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. As they sing, but also as they pray. We're exalted to be joyful in our King. So we pray, or such words we pray as, thine is the kingdom. In times past, there has been much rejoicing in view of a new king or queen. Think of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. There was such rejoicing. Oh, rejoice in King Jesus. It's good to focus on the Lord in prayer, isn't it? Yes, we bring our petitions. But oh, let's, as we draw to a conclusion our prayers, focus again on King Jesus and give him the praise. And what a help to prayer it is to remember our King and to consider he is reigning. Oh, bow your heart in prayer to him and rest in him, ascribing the praise unto him. You have a King over you who is a most gracious and merciful King. He admits you to come near. He defends and protects you. Praise him in your prayers. Consider prayer. We come to the Lord. We say with the psalmist in Psalm 20, let the King hear us when we call. We're coming to the throne and we consider our blessed King, our mediator, and we're admitted. Oh, praise the King as you come to the Lord in prayer. Secondly, let's consider now, thine is the power. Thine is the kingdom and the power. Ascribe to him the power and praise him. He is a powerful sovereign. We've considered he is King. He is sovereign. Consider now he is a powerful sovereign. Psalm 62 verse 11. God have spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. What great power. And in great power he reigns as King. Is this not seen in providence? How he governs and how he preserves. He is able and he doeth, as Nebuchadnezzar recognized in Daniel 4, verse 35. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So great. Oh, dear brethren, to remember the greatness and the power of God as we come to him in prayer. And in doing so, to praise him for it. We may be in a situation, it's so difficult, and we bring our petitions. Lord, help me. Then just think of his power and praise him for his almighty power, that help is on the way, and he in his power will help you and deliver you. Praise him. Ascribe to him the power. Psalm 115 verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. They're praising the Lord and they're rejoicing in his power. Ascribe to him the power. Thine, O Lord, said David, is the greatness and the power and the glory. I say again, what a help it is to ascribe to God the power when we come to prayer. Is this not what Asa did? There was a great army against him and the people. He turns to the Lord in prayer. 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. They were troubled, but now they were resting. They were resting in the power of God. And Asaph praised God for his power. It's a help. It's an encouragement. We struggle in affliction. Ascribe to God the power and praise him for it. We feel weakness. We feel our own weakness. We feel so small. Look up to God in prayer. Ascribe to him the power and give him the praise. Thirdly, the glory. Thine is the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Give him the glory. Dear brethren, what is our chief end? Our chief end is to glorify God. That's our chief end. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In our homes, in our marriages, in the community, in the workplace, in the places of education, the school and the college. All is to be done to the glory of God. That's our chief end. That's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we're here chiefly this week. It's to glorify God. Chiefly in prayer. Let's give him the glory. Let's praise him. Thine is the glory. Now firstly we're to focus. He is a glorious God. He shines in his excellencies. What a God he is. Oh, to think of him more often as we come to prayer. As one shining in his excellencies. He's clothed with majesty and he shines in his excellencies. Think of his mercy. Think of his greatness, his power, his love and his grace. He is a glorious God. What a God we have come to. And all we as the people of God need to show to the world, in our worship, in the way we live, that he is a glorious God. What views doth the world have of God? Sadly, not much. For some they dismiss God. Oh, let us, by the way we worship him and live for him, present he is a glorious God. He shines in his excellencies and he is worthy to be glorified. He is to have the glory. He is to be honoured and praised. Thine is the glory. He reigns as sovereign. He acts in his almighty power. Let him have the glory. Ascribe the glory to him. Remember again those words in Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. He's so worthy to have the glory, to be glorified, to be adored for the shining of his excellencies. Thine is the glory. What do we read in Psalm 115 verse 1? Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not to us, but unto him. Unto him be the glory. As we come to prayer, are we not taught there that our eyes to be focused on him, and that he is to have the glory? We're coming to God. We're praying to him, as we saw earlier, prayer is unto God, and we desire him to have the glory. Give him the glory in prayer. Praise him, dear brethren. Thou art worthy. And what a blessing it is when we're taken up, we're praising God in prayer. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? It helps us to exercise faith further when we praise God, when we consider that he is worthy. He is to be glorified. It so helps us to praise. Be glorified, O Lord, for thou art working thy purposes out for thy glory. Thou would defend us as king. Thou would see us safe home. Thou art worthy to be praised. Now we read here, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We thought of these three words in which we can ascribe certain things to God, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But then we note our Lord says, forever. simply, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. We're to ascribe these things to God now and praise him. It's a way in which we can praise him. And we're to continue doing so. And what an encouragement. Thine is the kingdom forever. The power forever. The glory forever. God will be glorified forever and ever. And dear brethren, what a blessing. That we will be those with so many others who will be glorifying God forever. Thine be the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. We're desiring as we offer these words, as we praise him, that he would have it. And we will continue to ascribe these things forever to him. Is this not a help to pray? And I exhort you, dear congregation, often read through this directory for prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Keep reading it through. It helps us. The Lord gave it to us that we might be helped to pray. And it's good to be often reminded of this prayer. Are we not encouraged here to pray in expectation that he will be glorified and he will answer our prayers? Now, as we draw to a close this morning, I'd like us to consider, secondly, and we will be brief, Amen, the final word. Amen, the final word. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a little word, but there is much in it for us. Amen. As a boy, I remembered a certain man in the church I grew up in who used to often boom out this word in the sermons. Now, I hasten, it's not my practice. But he used to boom out this word in the sermons. Amen. However, on one occasion when I was a boy, there was a visiting preacher. And when the man boomed out the word Amen, I thought, well, I don't agree with that. Of course, I didn't say that loudly. But there he was, Amen. What does our Lord teach here? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now the word is of Hebrew origin. We can think of its meaning as to be firm, trustworthy, verily. And particularly looking at the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, so be it. Amen. It's true. I agree. So be it. Well, as we look at this prayer, we can say, Amen. I agree. It's true. These things are a help to me. But there's much more for us here. Amen. With this word, firstly, one can testify the truth of certain things. Consider in Revelation 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. The Lord is speaking. He's testifying. He's alive. It's a precious thing today on this Lord's Day to think again of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many have now forgotten it for another year. Let's consider what our Lord says. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He testifies the truth. What encouragement that is when Christ says, Amen today. He's alive, he's on the throne. He's alive forevermore. What a comfort that is, dear brethren. He says, Amen. He's done it all for you. And we can say, Amen. We can testify to the truth of that. Amen. So as we think of this term, we could firstly go through the prayer and consider our Father which art in heaven, and we say Amen to that. We testify the truth of it. What encouragement. Hallowed be thy name, we say Amen. Let his name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come, we testify the truth that his kingdom come. He will further the kingdom of grace. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We testify the truth of that as well. Amen. So firstly, one testifies the truth of certain things. Secondly, with this word Amen, One testifies the truth of their desires. One testifies the truth of their desires. Firstly, one testifies the truth of certain things. Secondly, one testifies the truth of their desires. Think of the petitions. Amen. It is my desire. So be it, Lord. Give me this day my daily bread. I need provision. That's my desire. Amen. So be it. When said in sincerity and in truth, amen, so be it. This is my desire. Amen, I say it in sincerity and in truth. Think of hallowing his name. I desire to hallow thy name, Lord. Amen, so be it. It's my desire. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I desire to ever ascribe to thee praise, the kingdom, the power and the glory. That's my desire. And remember, dear brethren, the Lord looks on the desire in our hearts. We say amen. So be it, Lord. I desire thee to be glorified. Amen. But then thirdly and finally, we say amen in view of an assurance that we shall be heard. We say amen in view of an assurance that we shall be heard. So be it. Remember those words in 1 John 5 verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen. We pray. And we say amen in view of an assurance that we shall be heard in accordance to his will. Listen to Wilhelm Sabrako. The word amen sometimes it signifies veracity, certainty, and steadfastness upon which one can rely and trust him. Let me just illustrate. Thy kingdom come, and with assurance we say amen. He's going to build his church. He's going to defend the church. And he's going to bring us to the kingdom of glory. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 we read, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. And to the glory of God by us. You see, Paul, he had that assurance. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen. Now the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. With assurance we say, amen. George Müller, he would say amen often to his prayers, even though there was no provision, because he had assurance that God would provide all his needs. Amen. We are assured that he will have the praise. So we say, amen. We look forward in assurance and we say, amen. He will be hallowed. He will act in accordance to his will. He will provide. He will forgive. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And all we humbly there say, amen. Knowing that he is a father to us and there is fatherly forgiveness awaiting. Forgive us our debts. Amen. I'm assured thou wilt forgive me. Amen and amen. We testify the truth of certain things. We testify of our desires. And we say amen in view of an assurance that we shall be heard. Amen. It's not just a word to conclude the prayer, as it were, and no more. No, there's certain things we're doing when we say amen. And one of the things we believe when we say amen is that God will be glorified. And to that we will say amen. Let us come to the Lord in prayer.